Another portion of God's Word.
Thank you, Brother Chuck. Good morning, everybody. We'd like those who are visiting, we'd like to welcome you to the Lincoln Park Church of Christ. We're so honored to have you here, and if there's any questions we could answer for you at the end of the, or the conclusion of this sermon, please allow us that opportunity to do so. If you look on the screen behind me, we're going to be talking about fundamental Christian responsibilities, and we're going to start with submission. And as we think about submission, it's one of those great lessons. You know, the last couple of Sunday mornings, I've been talking to my teens upstairs about authority in religion. Who has authority in religion? What does it look like? And we've been going over various passages of Scripture as we talk about it. And then today, as we were talking about authority, I also kind of talked about submission a little bit, right? And I said, you know, when you think about it, you guys have heard me say this many times, that we're in a servant a master-servant relationship, right? A master-slave relationship. When you have a servant who has a master, and they're only partially obedient, how do you think that works out for them, right? I mean, there's typically going to be some punishment that's going to go along the way, right? And so I want us to understand that it's no different with us, right? You know, God doesn't call for partial obedience. He doesn't call for partial submission. But the reason why we struggle so much in the church, and not just here at Lincoln Park, but in the world, the universal church struggles so much mightily because we're not fully submitting to God. And so when you don't fully submit to God, you offer partial obedience. Amen? And so we're going to look at submission here this morning. So we're going to start by, as we look at this, I want us to understand the first aspect of submission is that it's not viewed as weakness. It's not viewed as inferiority. I want us to make sure we understand that, because it's viewed as a voluntary act of arranging oneself under God's established order. Do you guys understand what God's established order is as we think of submission, as we think of obedience, right? What is God's established order, right? We learn about it in the first couple of verses of what? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we learn that God the Father is over the Christ, right? Christ is over man, man's over woman, woman over child, right? That is the order that God had put into place. And he expects submission as we go through, and as we look at the scriptures this morning, he expects submission. He expects wives to submit to their husband. He expects children to submit to their mothers and fathers. He expects men to submit to Christ, as well as everybody submit to Christ. But we understand that God has given men what? Authority in the church. He's also given them authority in the marriage and the family unit. And so he expects us to also submit to him and make sure that we're doing our part and not just the women doing their part. And so everybody is submitting to something. Everybody is submitting to someone. I mean, if you think about it, in every aspect of life, you submit, right? Do we not submit to the governing authorities? And when we don't submit to the laws of the land, what happens? There's punishment, right? And so we know there's chaos and there's punishment that goes along with it. God expects us to submit to the governing authorities. And that's a whole lesson in and of itself. And I just want to let you know, we're starting the conversation this morning. It's going to continue this evening. And so if you're here this morning and you want to hear part two of the of this lesson, if you will, I ask that you come back for evening service tonight at 6 p.m. as we continue this conversation. Because as we think about submission, right, it's a voluntary act of arranging oneself under God's established order that we learned about, 1 Corinthians 11. But submission is the very essence of discipleship, is it not? It's the very essence of discipleship. It's the fundamental posture that every believer must have before Almighty God. And secondly, I want us to understand that submission is a voluntary act, right? God doesn't force himself on anybody, right? You could choose to be faithful to God. You could choose to submit. And if you submit fully, you're going to see that God's going to see that he's going to get full obedience from you because you fully submit. But if you only partially submit, God's going to see partial obedience, right? And so we see that. But brethren, we also need to make sure that we see the difference between submission and subjection. Submission is a voluntary act. It's not something that's coerced. But subjection is something that implies a forced obedience, if you will. You see, we're not in subjection to God, a forced obedience. We're in submission to God, a voluntary obedience. So instead, submission is a response to Christ's love. It's a response to Christ's love and as well as his right to rule over our lives. I mean, is not God the creator of the heavens and the earth? And doesn't Jesus have all authority in heaven and on earth that was given to him by the Father? And so we submit to Almighty God and we submit to Jesus in order to be pleasing to God the Father. And so friends and family, Christ is the model. We know that Christ is the model because what do we see in the life of Jesus Christ? What do we see in the ministry of Jesus Christ? He fully submitted, without a shadow of a doubt, fully submitted to the complete Father's will. Jesus co-equally shared the Father's nature, and yet he lived in complete submission to the Father's will and to the Scriptures. And he came to fulfill all that was written about him. And so likewise, I want us to understand, friends and family, that submitting is committing to obeying. Submitting is committing to obeying and living under Christ's authority. It's submitting to living under Christ's rule over our lives. And so I want us to take a stroll through the Scriptures here this morning. So as we take a scroll through the Scriptures here this morning, we look at the first one. It's in Matthew chapter 28. This is one we see all the time. I think most of us know this passage. If you're newer in your faith, right, this is an important passage of Scripture. And it says this: "And Jesus came and he spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.' And then he tells his disciples, 'Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.'" But there's that key phrase: "Teaching them to observe all that I have suggested to you." When you guys look at that passage, did you see where it says suggested? Oh, it says commanded. You see, it's not a suggestion. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth, and he tells us that we're to go. It's the Great Commission. We go and we make disciples, right? Teaching them to observe all that God has commanded. You see, in order to observe all that God has commanded, you need to fully submit. Because if you only partially submit, you're going to get partial obedience. I mean, that's just kind of the way it works. And so I look at the next passage of Scripture. Luke 6 and 46, this is an easy one. Jesus says, "But why do you call me Lord? Why do you call me Lord when you don't even do what I ask you to do?" And so, brethren, this is that idea that we're in a master-servant relationship. If Lord means master, well then, we're the servants. And if the Lord says that we are to do something, he expects us to do it. And so when we look at these passages of Scripture, Lord means master. So Christ is either master over all things in your life, or he's master over nothing. You guys remember in Revelation chapter 3, when Jesus was talking about discipleship, and he was saying how, he says, "Randy, I want you to be hot for me." He goes, "Or I'd rather you just be cold." But unfortunately, Randy's lukewarm. And because he's lukewarm, he makes me sick. And it's Jesus says, "I'm going to spew you out of my mouth." So he either wants you all in, or he'd rather just have you be out. He doesn't want you to be lukewarm. He doesn't want you to be partially obedient, partially submitting unto his will. And so, brethren, this is what we see as we study Scripture. Partially obedient master-servant relationships only bring punishments. And so when we die, we know that we're going to give our lives, or when we die, we know that we're going to stand before God in judgment and give an account of our lives, whether good or bad. Everything we've ever said and did, we're going to give an account for. And so as we look at these passages, I want you to look at this next one. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, notice what it says: "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who," what? "Does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we perform many wonders in your name?'" And then Jesus is going to declare to them, he says, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Friends and family, this is such an important passage of Scripture because these are individuals who call him Lord. These are individuals who are Christians. I need us to understand that just because you're baptized doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Do you guys understand that? Just because you're baptized doesn't mean you're going to heaven. It's baptism in conjunction with what? Faithfulness, submission, humility, obedience. If we go to BTO, it's belief, trust, and obedience. But you got to submit before you're going to obey. Because if you don't submit, you're not going to obey. Right? And if you don't submit, you're not going to be humble, because that's part of obedience. And so you see, brethren, all of these principles are connected together. So you look at this. What do we see in these first few passages? Christ has all authority. And Christ expects you to do what he says. And just being baptized, as I said a moment ago, it doesn't mean you're going to heaven. But baptism in conjunction with obedience, in conjunction with submission, will get you into heaven. You see, friends and family, obedience takes place as we submit to God's rule over our lives. I was talking to the kids in the teen class this morning, and these are like things that we were talking about in conjunction with authority. You know, and I asked Haley, I said, Haley, what happens when you only partially submit to your parents? You know, you got the rules of the house, and what happens when you only partially submit to your parents? Oh, she says, well, you know, doesn't turn out so good for me, right? Right? There's usually some punishment, there's some yelling, maybe might be some things that are happening. I'm ad-libbing here. Haley didn't say all those things, but it's a simple point, right? Haley just understood, and Preston understood, and Oscar understood that when they're not living according to the rules of the house, right, they don't expect a good outcome. Neither should we. And so, what's the rules of the house? Isn't this God's house? Isn't this God's kingdom? Doesn't God put rules in place for our benefit? And it's completely up to us to whether or not we're going to submit to Almighty God. Amen? And so, brethren, it all starts with submission. As we continue to look at this, I want us to understand next that we see that our life in worship is governed by God's authority. Look at this next passage. In Colossians 3 and 17, it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, to the Father through Jesus. You see, brethren, you look at that. Our faith must never be something that you pick up and you put down depending on the situation. You see, friends and family, because if that's the case, then you're partially submitted to God. Because your faith should be something that you carry into, that you take into every situation that you're in. Amen? And so you don't get to say, well, when I'm in this situation, I'm going to lay my faith aside. But when I'm in this situation, I'll pick my faith up. No, you take your faith out into the world no matter the situation. Because you're called to do what? You're called to conduct yourself in a manner worthy and pleasing to God. You guys remember Isaiah 43 and 7, where we learn about why we're created? You know, oftentimes in Bible studies, you know, especially with newer type people who are learning the scriptures, and they say, you know, why was I created? You know, why am I here? And we find out in Isaiah 43 and 7 that we're here to bring glory and honor to God the Father. Where our lives, we were created to glorify God. And so, friends and family, all that we do in word and deed is to the glory of the Father. And so our faith must never be something that we set down and pick up depending on the situation. So we live the type of life that Christ can be glorified in all that we say and do. Why? Because Christ is the Lord. He's the Master. He's the King. He's the High Priest. He's God. And so, friends and family, in your service to others, serve as if you're serving the Lord. That's what the scriptures teach us. This world, this would cause others to consider our dedication to God. They would consider our service to others, our service to the Lord. Why we have this type of mindset, why we choose to live this type of life of service to others. And then we'd have an opportunity to do what? To glorify God by teaching others about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To teach others that I do all that I do because of all that God has done for me. You see, friends and family, we serve as if we're serving the Lord. And when you give as if you're giving to the Lord. This is also another opportunity for God to be glorified. Not just in your giving, but in those who see and take notice of the way you give and the way you serve, so they could also have questions. They're also going to see, what is it that causes Diane to give and to serve in such a just a humble manner? And she could teach people about her Jesus. You see, friends and family, when you speak as if you're speaking to the Lord. This would help cut out the slander. This would help to cut out the gossip and the backbiting. So when you speak as if you're speaking to the Lord. You see, friends and family, the scriptures tell us how we're to conduct ourselves, how we're supposed to live our very lives. I think about this next passage of scripture in John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers, don't let that be lost on you, true worshipers, will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. And God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. When you look at that, also consider in conjunction with it, John 17, 17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Set them apart in the truth. Allow the truth to be what sets them apart. For God the Father's word is truth. Friends and family, notice that God draws a distinction, if you go back a slide, from the true worshipers to those who would be a false worshiper. The true worshipers are those who worship him with the right mindset, with the right spirit, the right attitude, and then also according to truth. You see, friends and family, he makes a distinction there of true worshipers. So in order to be a false worshiper, that means you're not worshiping with the right mindset, the right heart condition. You're not doing it according to truth. As I was talking to the teens this morning, we were talking about authority, and then as we were going through the list of scriptures, I said, so have you ever heard that phrase, we speak where the Bible speaks, but we're silent where the Bible's silent? I said, have you ever heard that? And they said, no, I haven't heard that. And I said, well, let's break it down. What does that mean? We speak where the Bible speaks, right? I said, well, we don't have a rock band up here. Why don't we have a rock band up here? Because we speak where the Bible speaks and we're silent. The Bible says to sing over half a dozen times. All the biblical example, all the necessary inference, everything, right? The commands, we are to sing over and over and over. A cappella, sing. And yet, we don't because we're silent where the Bible's silent. If God wanted us to sing and have instruments, he would have said, sing and have instruments, just like he instructed the Israelites of old. But that's not what we see. And so we worship in spirit and in truth. He's looking for true worshipers. Worshipers who will worship in the manner in which he has commanded. Do you guys remember that Jesus says, go out into all the world, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I suggested to you? Oh, that's right. It's commanded. It's not a suggestion. And so, friends and family, this all gets back to submission. You either submit and humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, or you don't. And that choice is really up to you. And so you continue to look at this. So here we plainly learn that we must worship God with the right attitude, the right heart condition, and it must be according to the truth which is contained in the New Testament passages. I think about Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 and 9 now. Notice that it says this, these people, they draw near to me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You guys remember how we just talked about true worshipers? God desires true worshipers, brethren. And then he goes on in verse 9 and says, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Friends and family, it says these people, these were the so-called believers, if you will, the Jews, the Israelites of that day. And yet it says these people draw near to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain they worship me. In vain means that their worship is worthless. They're neither hot, they're neither cold. You guys go back and you think about the times of the Israelites, like I mentioned to the teens this morning. Why were the Israelites punished over and over and over again? And they said, disobedience. I said, exactly. And I said, what happens when we stand before God in judgment? We're going to give an account, right? And I said, we're either going to be praised for the type of life we lived, or we're going to face punishments for our lack of obedience. And so, brethren, all of these principles, all of these things go hand in hand with one another. And so, as we look at the scriptures this morning, submitting is committing to obey. It's committing to live under Christ's authority and not just what you desire. Next, we're going to need to see, friends and family, that we're not to go beyond what is written. This is so critically important because there are thousands of variations of Christianity in the world, and it's all because they go beyond what is written. They choose to speak where the Bible is silent. Notice what Paul instructed the people of Corinth. And then ask yourself, why did he instruct this? Now these things, brethren, I figuratively have transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. You need to learn to not think beyond what is written. When it says to sing, he wants you to sing. To think beyond that is to say, wow, I bet you we could really spice it up, Chuck, if we, you know, had, you know, some of the guys get up here and they got a bass and a guitar and some drummers, you know what I mean? And we got some men and women singers, we got some solos. Man, I bet you God would be so happy. I bet you that would make worship so much better, so much more exciting. Who does that end up pleasing? It pleases me. And it pleases you, but it doesn't please God. Because God had already told you what the expectation was. But you chose to think beyond what is written. That's why it matters. And so the Apostle Paul urges the Corinthian believers to be imitators of him. Why? Because Paul's life offers a contrast to the worldly factions, which were dividing the church. And that's something I talked to the teens about this past Wednesday night. And so as we talked about on Wednesday night, I was showing them in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the first few verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the first few verses, 2 Timothy 1, verse 3, Romans 16 and 17. In all of those passages, you know what we see? It was prophesied, the falling away, that men were going to start to accumulate teachers according to their own desires, right? Why? Because they started to think beyond what is written. And so, friends and family, you look at the scriptures here this morning. Paul's life, it offers a contrast to the worldly factions. He encourages the Corinthians to follow the example of faithfulness, submission, humility, and dependence on Christ Jesus. So, friends and family, that is why we say we speak where the Bible speaks. We're silent where the Bible's silent. And then I think about warnings. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19, notice that it says, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, that if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Friends and family, the warning here is crystal clear, is it not? It is crystal clear. If you change God's written instruction at all, no matter how well-intentioned, you should expect punishment. You're not allowed to add to or to take away from the scriptures. This is an Old Testament principle, and it's a New Testament principle. For God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. His principles have not changed. And so this warning is crystal clear. We must not change the word of God. Brethren, lastly, before we close it down, our love for Jesus is gauged by our submission to his authority. How do I know that? Well, all you have to do is read the scriptures. You know, all you have to do is read the scriptures and you start to learn things like John chapter 14 and verse 15, where Jesus says, if you love me, you're going to what? If you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. Why? Because you've submitted to me. You've humbled yourself. You voluntarily have done this. And so you submit to me. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then the very next one, John 15 and 14. You are my friends. You're my friends if you do what I command you. You see, Jesus says that because they understood who Jesus was. And then, you remember when Jesus asked the disciples, do you too not want to leave? And they said, where will we go? You have the words of eternal life. You see, they understood who Jesus was. They understood Jesus to be the Son of Man. They understood him to be God in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word put on flesh and dwelt among us. They understood exactly who Jesus was. Even though they didn't exactly understand the plan and the Holy Spirit had to be sent to further guide them in knowledge and truth, and then they wrote those things down for future generations, We understood, though, that they knew that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so, brethren, as you look at this, to show your obedience to God, all you get is this life. To show your obedience to God, whether you submit or not, fully or partially, all you get is this life. Once you die, it's too late. And so what are some applications that you can make regarding submission? First, I got to tell you this. There's only so much you can say in 25 minutes, right? That's why I said come back tonight. We're going to have part two. Because there's so much more that could be said on this topic. And so first, I must say that as there's so much more that can be said, but first we learn that submission is voluntary. It's not subjection, which is forced upon somebody, but it is voluntary. We submit to Jesus Christ first and foremost. Why? Because he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord. He's the Christ. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. He's God in the flesh. And so we submit to Almighty God. We submit to Jesus Christ because he submitted completely and wholly to the Father's will. And as King of the universe, Christ's authority demands wholehearted obedience. And next we learn about mutual submission as we read the scriptures. We learn about this a little bit in Ephesians. We learn about it really throughout the scriptures. But all believers are commanded to do what? To submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This involves putting others' needs before our wants, which is going to foster unity. It's going to foster joy, not just in your life, but in the life of the one that you're sacrificing for. I talk about those one another passages on a regular basis. Because if you really understood those one another passages, and if everybody understood and was fully submissive to God's word, you know what you wouldn't need? You wouldn't need sign-up sheets. You wouldn't need ministries. Because everybody would be taking meals to the sick. Everybody would be looking to clothe the naked. Everybody would be looking to go to and visit those who are imprisoned. Right? Everybody, when I say those in prison, and I think too many people take that out of context, it's talking about those who are spiritually in prison for the persecution of their faith. Now, I'm not taking away from a prison ministry, but so many people take that passage out of context. So those who are hungry, those who are sick, those who are thirsty, you wouldn't have to be asked to do that because you'd automatically do that because why? You're fully submissive to God. And you've humbled yourself before the hand of Almighty God, and you automatically look to do all that God desires of you. So do you see, brethren, if we actually were all fully submissive, you wouldn't need sign-up sheets, you wouldn't need to start ministries, because everybody would just naturally be doing these things. And so you think about this. The goal of this lesson is to encourage us to consider, how submissive am I? Am I fully submissive or am I partially submissive? And if I'm only partially submissive, what do I got to do? What do I need to change in order to increase my submissiveness to God? To get to that point to where I'm fully submissive to God. You know, we need to have mutual submission, but we also need to make sure that we're submitting to our congregational shepherds. The elders of this congregation, we need to make sure we're fully submissive to them because members are called to gladly embrace these congregations' elders. Each and every congregation should gladly embrace their elders. It teaches us that in 13 and 17 of Hebrews. Next, we learn that we're to submit in the home. Wives, submit to husbands. This once was often described as a voluntary honor. It was also described as an act of worship. And it's limited in scope, though, for sure, because you don't submit to a man who's trying to get you to do ungodly things. You don't submit to a man who's trying to get you to live a life of sin. At that point, just like in Acts 5 and 29, when the apostles were threatened and they were that they're no longer to speak in the name of Jesus Christ, what did they say? We must obey God rather than man. So you see, friends and family, we all submit. We submit to the governing authorities. Too many Christians don't understand this principle. I know this because you just got to go on social media. You got to see some of the ridiculous posts that so-called Christians are putting on social media. They don't understand this idea of submitting to governing authorities. Or if they do, then they've chosen to, rebel against God. You see, brethren, we're going to talk about these different things as you come back later this evening. We're going to talk about this because in the evening time, it's not a sermon, it's Bible study. So that way we can have conversation and we can look to these things a little deeper. So if you're here today and you're hearing this message and you want to submit to God, you want to give your life voluntarily over to God, then friends and family, I would ask if that is you here this morning that you come forward, you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. God will add you to his kingdom. You become a part of the church, not because I added you to it, but because God has added you to it. If that's your desire, come forward as we stand and sing.